Good morning, everyone, all the brave people who have come. We are reading in Book 2, Canto 11, The Kingdoms and Godheads of the Greater Mind, following King Asvapati in his exploration of the ascending planes of existence. We had read through the first section of this canto, which ends on page 264, and then we went back to the beginning and looked more carefully at each of the sentences, and we reached almost the bottom of page 263, where there's this wonderful picture of King Asvapati regaining his privilege of shadowless sight. The thinker entered the immortal's air and drank again his pure and mighty source. This realm of the ideal mind is the source from which King Asvapati has descended to incarnate on earth with the intention of colonizing the earth with higher realms of consciousness and uplifting human beings and eventually establishing on earth a divine life. So we can read on from there, line 137. Would you like to start, Patty? Bottom of page 264.
Out of spiritual secrecy they gaze.
No. Page 263. It's immutable in rhythmic calm and joy. Page 263 at the bottom. Right, yeah.
Immutable in rhythmic calm and joy, he saw sovereignly free in limitless light the unfallen flames, the thought-created worlds, where knowledge is the leader of the act and matter is of thinking substance made. He, a heaven bird poised on dreaming wings, answers truth's call as to a parent's voice. Form luminous leaps from the old and wheel is a conscious chariot of the gods, and light a splendor stream of muting force carries the voices of the mystic sun. A happiness it brings of whispered truth. There runs in its flow honeying the bosom of space, a laughter from the immortal heart of bliss, and the unfathomed joy of timelessness, the sound of wisdom's murmur in the unknown, and the breath.
Thank you. So what he's seeing are the unfallen planes. The fallen planes perhaps start with the life worlds. He's seeing now the thought-created worlds, the worlds that are directly created by ideal mind. There, knowledge is the leader of the act, and even matter is of thinking substance made. Feeling, sense and emotion is like a heaven bird poised on dreaming wings, a vast bird with outstretched wings, planing, not even moving a feather, upborne by that wonderful atmosphere. Feeling, a heaven bird poised on dreaming wings, answers truth's call as to a parent's voice. There's an immediate responsive answer to the call of truth. And there is form there. Forms are luminous. These luminous forms as if leap out from the all-shaping beam, this beam of ideal mind, a beam of light. And will there in those worlds is a conscious chariot of the gods. The idea of the human will becoming a vehicle for the conscious will of the divine powers. And the life force, life, a splendor stream of musing force carries the voices of the mystic suns, these many suns of different kinds of truth. Life brings a happiness of whispered truth, and in the flow of life, there's a laughter from the immortal heart of bliss, and that laughter honeys the bosom of space, fills it with sweetness and delight, and the unfathomed joy of timelessness. There's no pressure of time in that realm of timelessness. That laughter also carries the sound of wisdom's murmur in the unknown, the mystery, the secret knowledge that is there, and the breath of an unseen infinity. This is what Asvapati sees when he re-enters the plane which is his source, the plane of the immortal's air. Would you like to read, Ma? Will you read? Okay, Patricia.
In gleaming clarities of amethyst air, chainless and omnipotent spirit of mind brooded on the blue lotus of the idea, a golden supernal sun of timeless truth poured down the mystery of the eternal ray through a silence quivering with the word of life on an endless ocean of discovery. Far off, we saw a joining hymns on meditation's mounting edge of trance. Great stairs of thought climbed up to unborn life, where time's last ridges touch eternity's sky, and nature speaks to the spirit's absolute.
There are so many beautiful passages in Savitri, but this is really one of my favorites, these gleaming clarities of amethyst air. And Sunilda has found such wonderful music to express them. It's something really out of this world. Amethyst, it's a particularly beautiful color. Oh, it's a kind of purplish blue with turquoise glints in it. The air is like that. In those gleaming clarities, the spirit of mind, chainless, unfettered, completely free, all-powerful, is brooding, concentrating on the blue lotus of the idea. The blue lotus doesn't actually exist yet in our material world. There are blue, beautiful blue amethyst blue water lilies, but the blue lotus blooms only on the other side of Mount Kailash in Lord Shiva's realm. There's also something about this blue lotus that's specially connected with Sri Aurobindo.
Why amethyst here?
I was wondering if there's anybody here who knows something about the significance of gemstones. Perhaps somebody can do some research about that. Protection, the gemstone amethyst. Yes.
And she also mentioned in China also that they give, if somebody's in trouble, they give amethyst as a gift to come out of the
Wow. But it's also this particularly beautiful color. It's got the mixture of turquoise blue, indigo blue, purple.
I think it's also blue and red.
That purplish red, yes. So that means the union of life and mind.
It's, I think, transparent, isn't it, the amethyst?
An amethyst is transparent, yes. It's a gemstone, transparent gemstone.
Like a pearl is not.
Like a crystal.
Yes.
The idea, the capital I,
the idea, here where he uses this word with a capital I, yes, I think that this is an equivalent of the creative aspect of supermind. It's from this realm of idea that the creation of forms and forces begins. This again we can look up in the Life Divine, but that's how I have understood it. So the philosopher Plato spoke about there being a realm of ideal form. They're the templates, the types of which get expressed more or less imperfectly on all the lower levels, the original forms.
The thoughts of things not yet manifested, is it?
Sorry?
Thoughts of things not yet manifested on earth, like the blue lotus.
Yes, yeah.
In the higher realm, but not here.
Yes, not here yet, exactly. And then there's a gold supernal sun of timeless truth. This is the sun of supermind, pouring down the mystery of the eternal ray through a silence quivering with the word of light. The idea has to get expressed in the creative word to have its full power. Right, yes. Auroville is another one. And our whole creation, this whole manifestation, is full of such ideal forms in the subtle realms. So this sunlight is pouring down onto an endless ocean of discovery. There's so much, an infinite amount of possibilities to be discovered. And looking up then, far off, still far off from this ideal realm, he saw the joining hemispheres. It's where the borderline between the lower hemisphere of the manifestation and the upper hemisphere of the as yet unmanifested, where they meet, that borderline. And he sees these stairs, great stairs of thought, climbing up and up and up to unborn heights, where time's last ridges, the very highest ridges and peaks of time, meet the skies of eternity. That's that point where the hemispheres meet, or that border where the hemispheres meet. There time's last ridges touch eternity's skies, and nature, the creative force which belongs to the manifestation, speaks to the spirit's absolute. Often we have the feeling that nature and spirit are somehow almost in contradiction or disconnected. Where those hemispheres join, they meet and communicate. So that's an beautiful introductory section to this quite long chapter, canto. So Asvapati has a glimpse, an overview of the kingdoms of the greater mind. Now he will explore them in more detail. Evelyn, would you like to read?
A triple realm before the thought came first, a small beginning of immense strength. Above were bright the various skies of mind, a path, an endless sword as if sky pressed sky. What rest against the void? Highest strong to maneuver eternity, the largest widened into the infinite. But through immortal, mighty, and divine, the first realms were close and dim to human mind. Their deities shape our greatest thinking goals. A fragment of their wisdom may be ours. These breaths were not too broad for our souls to range. These heights were not too high to even hope. A triple flight led to this triple world. Although the breath for common strength to tread, its upward slope looks down on our earth poise. On a strand not too precipitously steep, one could turn back, traveling deep descending lines, to commune with the mortal's universe, the mighty wardens of the Ashantian sphere, who intercede with the all-creating world, there waiting for the pilgrim heaven-bound soul, holding the thousand keys of the beyond. They proffer their knowledge to the climbing mind, and fill the light with thoughts immensity.
Thank you. So we are reading this for the first time. We'll just go ahead and read. Would you like to read? Would you like to read?
No.
No? Gali. Filled the life with thought's immensities, line 190.
The prophet Yelephants of the Bottle Talk, the flame right here us of the dimming whose interpreters man's mind and God's, they bring the immortal fire to mortal men, iridescent for being the invisible, the guardians of the eternal bright degrees, fronted the sun in radiant phalanxes, afar they seemed a symbol imagery, illumining originals of a shadowy script in which our sight transcribed the ideal way, or icons figuring a mystic truth, but mirror thoughts and living presences, a march of
freezes. Thank you, Rafaela.
Kaufmann, the eternal dramaturg, Murren, and measures of fragmented space, they have made their plan of the foreseen and known, a dwelling house for the invisible king, obeying the eternal speed command. They have built the material front of things, this wide world kindergarten of young souls, where the infant spirit learns to mind and sense. To read the cosmic script and study the body of this cosmic self and search for the secret meaning of all. To all that spirit can see, they can rule, perforating nature with a visible need, they lend the final shape to infinite things. Each power they leave from their manifest, leaving the largeness of the eternal speed, they see. By that perceiving eye and made a figure of the cosmic dance. Its free caprice and bound by rhythmic law, and compelled to accept its function and its life in the vividity of an ordered universe. The all containing was contained in form. One was carved into units measurable. A limitless spirit into a cosmic sun. Unending space was beaten into a curve. Indivisible time into small, smooth cuts. An infinitesimal mass to keep secure the mystery of the fullness cast into form. Convincingly, that graph derived for me the magic of sequent numbers that science does. Designed miraculous prophecy of cause, related with beauty and significance, and by the determining mandate of their game, sugar and quality equating joy in an inextricable identity.
Thank you. Or again.
On each event, they stamp its curves of law, and its trust and charge of burdened circumstance. The free and divine incident no more. At each moment will brought adventure of the soul. It lengthened the fate-bound mysterious chain, the line foreseen with an immutable plan, one step more in necessity's long march. A terminal set for every eager power, restraining its will to monopolize the world. The group of forms prescribed the force and fact, and showed to each moment its appointed place. Forward, inalterably, in the spirit, in the spiral. Huge time loop, fugitive from eternity. Inevitable with their thoughts like links of fate. Imposed on the leap and lightning race of mind. And on the frame, fortuitous flux of life. and on the liberty of atomic things, immutable cause and adamant consequence. Idea gave up the plastic infinity to which it was born and now traced out instead. Small separate steps of chain work in a plot. Immortal ones now tied to birth and end, torn from its immediacy of perilous sight. Knowledge was rebuilt from cells of inference into a fixed body, flask and perishable. Thus found, it grew but could not last and broke, and to a new thinking's body left its place. Cage for the infinite's great high seraphim thoughts was closed with a crisscross of world laws, four bars, and hatched into a skirt horizon's arc, the iris vision of the ineffable. The tiny spirit was made the slave of the hours. The unbound was cast into a prison of birth to make a world that mind could grasp and rule. On an earth which looked towards the thousand suns, that the created mind might grow nature's lord, and matter's depths be illumined with the soul. They tied to date and norm in finite scope, the million mystery movement of the one.
Thank you. So, Danya.
Above stooped rank a subtle or tender or tender race, with a larger leaves and roots that starts the unseen, the light of lyrical knowledge shone. Across the gulf of silence in their eyes, they gaze in the mind and new truth from within. A sight withdrawn in the concentrated heart could pierce behind the screen of time's rigor, and the rigid cast and shape of visible things, all that escape conception narrow bones, visions described and equipped, piercing thoughts filled in the blank left by the seeming sense.
High architects of possibility.
And engineers of the impossible. Mathematicians of the infinite and theoricians of the unknowable truth. They formulate enigmas, postulates, and join the unknown with the apparent words. Acolytes, they wait upon the boundless thought. The cycle of our world. Investigate, passing her veins of wordless privacy, the mind will penetrate our occult mind and draw the wisdom of our secret thought. They read the codes and cipher she had sealed, copied the need of all her guarded plans, for every turn of our mysterious course, assigned a reason and unchanging rule. The unseen grew visible. Students' eyes explain for the immense inconscient scheme, audacious lines were traced upon the void, the infinite was reduced to square and cube.
Thank you. Let's pause there. Brian.
Arranging symbol and significance, tracing the curve of a transcendent power, they frame the Kabbalah of the cosmic rule, the balancing line discovered of life's technique. Constructed her magic and her mystery, imposing schemes of knowledge on the lost. They clamp to syllogisms of finite thought, the free logic of infinite consciousness.
Grammar,
the hidden rhymes of nature's dance, rhythms of nature's dance, critiques the plot, the drama of the world, made figure and number a key to all that is. Psychoanalysis of cosmic self was traced, its secrets hunted down and read. The unknown pathology of the unique assessed was the system of the probable, the hazard of being possibilities. To account for the actuals, unaccountable sum, necessities, logarithmic tables drawn, cast into a scheme, the triple act of the one, unveiled the abrupt, invisible multitude. Of forces whirling from the hands of chance, seem to obey some vast imperative, their tangled virtues worked out unity. A wisdom read their mind to themselves. giant randomness of force, following the habit of their million powers, distinguishing each faintest line and stroke of a concealed or unalterable design. Out of the chaos of the invisible's wounds derived the calculus of destiny.
Let's pause there. Karen.
In its bright fight of universal lore, mind knowledge overtook the omniscient power. The eternal winging eagle frequencies took guides in their untracked and furious, duped from their gyres,
yeah.
To obey the battle thought. Each mystery goes forced to revealing form, assigned with settled moves in nature's game. Zigzag at the gesture of a chess player will, across the checkerboard of cosmic fate, in the wide sequence of necessity steps predicted every act and thought of God, its values weighed by the accountant mind, checked in its mathematized omnipotence, lost its divine aspect of mirror, and was a figure in a cosmic sun. The mighty mother's winds and lightning moves, arisen from her all-wise unruled delight in the freedom of her sweet and passionate breath, both of their wonder were changed to a cause and aim, an idol of bronze reflection that captures the movements of the cosmic vast in the sketch precise of an ideal face. Forgotten was her eyelashes dream rings, carrying on their curve infinity's dreams, lost the alluring marble of her eyes, the searching, surging wave throbs of her vast sea heart. They bound to a theorem,
yeah.
Order, her deep designs, which from herself she had veiled, vows self-revealed in their confession. For the birth and death of the worlds, they fix the date, the diameter of infinity was drawn, measured the distant arc of the unseen heights, and visualized the plumbless, viewless depths till all seemed known, that in all time could be. All was coerced by number, name, and form. Nothing was left untold, impossible. Yet was their wisdom circled with a note. Truth they could find and hold, but not the one truth. The highest was to them unknowable. By knowing too much, they missed the whole to be known. The fathomless heart of the world was left unguessed, and the transcendent kept its secret.
Thank you. Will you read?
In some sublimer and more daring soar, to the white summit of the triple stairs, bare steps climbed up the flaming ropes of gold, burning their way to a pure, absolute sky, August. And a few, the sovereign kings of thought, have made of space their white, all-seeing gaze, surveying the enormous world of time, the breadth of all-containing consciousness, supported being in a still embrace, intercessors with a luminous unseen. They kept in the long passage to the world the imperatives of a creator self, obeyed their unknowing earth with conscious heaven. Their thoughts are partners in its vast control. A brave, all-moving consciousness is there, and mind, unfitting, serves a higher power. It is a channel, not the source of all. The cosmos is not ancient, extant in time. There is a meaning in each play of chance. There is a freedom in each phase of fate. The wisdom knows and guides the mystery of the world. The truth gaze shapes its beings and events, the word set forth upon creation's heights, voice of the eternal in the temporal spheres, prophet of the seeings of the absolute, sows the ideas, significance and form, and from that the growth of time arrives.
Thank you. Will you read?
Keeps beyond our pen of the all wisdom sticks. A single, impolymer blue sun down, a silent map from the supernal air awake to his own knowledge inside. The secret call from the conscious death, compelling the blinded Godhead to emerge.
Determining. Thank you. Naren.
In quality by foot's directing gaze, all creatures bear their secret self-disclosed, forced to become more than themselves behind. For he who is gross manifests in the ears, and the slow Godhead shut within the cell, flying from the charm of immortal, but hidden, a denied mortal crash, mystic, ineffable, because it's true. Unspoken, caught only by the spirit's eye. When naked of ego and mind, it's here, it hears the voice. It looks through light to ever greater light, and sees eternity and staring light. This greater truth is foreign to our thoughts, where a free wisdom works, we seek for room. Or we only see a tripping game of chance, or a labor in chains, forced, bound by bound nature's law, and absolutism of dumb unthinking power. Audacious in the sense of God-bound strength, these dare to grasp to their thought truth's absolute. By an abstract purity of thoughtless sight, by a percept mute, intolerant of forms, they brought to mind what mind could never reach, and hope to conquer truth's supernal gaze. A strict imperative of conceptual phase, architectonic and inevitable, translated the unthinkable into thought. A silver-winged fire of naked subtle sense, an ear of mind withdrawn from the outward rhymes, discovered the seed sounds of eternal world, the rhythm and music heard that built the world, and seized in things the body has built to be.
Thank you. Helmut.
In the meantime, they measure with number of words and trace the last formula of human things in transparent system, body, terminus, truth, handless made, accountable to time, and value the incommensurable of things. The harsh and hitch the ungrasped infinities, they erected absolute voice, thought, and speech, and made a rational to hold the one. In their sight, they drove towards an infinity, a mighty space of cold and sunlit air. To unify their past, excluding life, which cannot bear the nakedness of the mind, they made a cipher of a multitude, the negation of the meaning of the world, and the nothingness of absolute poverty. A single law, simples the cosmic feeling, compressing nature into harmony, their heightened labor may fall in knowledge to one, a mental algebra of spirit space, an abstract of the living universe.
Thank you. Matthias?
Here the monastery will stop, the self will flee, for nothing more is left to think or know. The spiritual zero is set to grow, with its vast silence to the inevitable. This was the play of the right cross of thought, attracting the time, the timeless light, imprisoning eternity, the hours, this stand plan, the snare of the truth, and all of the net, concept, the grace, and the deeper capture for the thinker's joy in this little world filled with immortal dreams. There must be questions and inspires the words and acts, belonging and resonance to the listening ears, companion and recorder of knowledge, crossing the ruined track of thought and life, calm out, the witness is hired by triumphant star, the God-like servitor, the crown and will shall dominate the anger and prosper the world, the warrant for his deeds and his beliefs, he tests his right.
Thank you. Larry.
Or let the lover clasp his one Godhead of his life's worship and desire. I come in his heart so open to the truth. She now is his and must live for him alone. She has invaded him with her sudden bliss, an exhaustless marvel in his happy breast, and a worm, a cough ravishing miracle. Her now he claims, after long rapt pursuit, the one joy of his body and his soul. Inescapable is her divine appeal, her immense possession and undying thrill, and intoxication and an ecstasy. Passion of herself revealing a heavenly glory in her mind, makes ever new her body to divine, or else repeats the first enchantment's touch, the luminous rapture of her mystic breath, and beautiful, vibrant limbs, a living field, throbbing new discovery without end. A new beginning flowers in word and life, a new charm brings back the old extreme delight, his lost in her. She is his heaven here.
Thank you. Andres.
Truth smiles upon the gracious golden name. Out of her hushed eternal spaces, meaning the great and boundless body, thank to you, sounding sweetness of her secret. Incarnating her beauty in his breast, she gave for a brief kiss her immortal lips, and drew to her bosom one glorified mortal head. She made earth her home, for whom heaven was with men. In a human breast, her awful presence lived. He carved from his own self his figure of her. She shaved her body into a mind and burden. With the soft narrow limits she has come. With great bliss she has suffered to thrill into the little cabin of the other. The closed room of a lonely thinker's dress, she has lowered her heights to the stature of our soul, and dazzled our lids with her celestial gaze. Thus each is satisfied with his high aim and thinks himself beyond mortality today. A king of truth upon his scepter, to her possessor in the field of time, a single splendor cut from her glorious hues, the one true light, the beauty's glowing hope.
Thank you. Alice.
But thought, no word conceives eternal truth. Old world lives in the morning ray of her sun, in our thinking's clothes and mirror, lamp lit house. The vanity of our shut mortal mind dreams that the chains of thought have made her ours. But only we pray with our own willing bonds, tying her down. It is ourselves we tie. In our hypnosis, by one in response, we see not the small figure of her. We hold, we feel not her smiling abandonment. We share not the immortal liberty. Thus it is even with the seer and the saint. Still with the human limits to the divine. Out of our hearts, we must leap up to sight, breathe to the mind, the infinite air. Simple tasks, supremacy, failure to surrender to the absolute. Then the humanness reflects the strong in the still living, living to the highest way. Descends into our hearts and we are back into eternity. Truth is more greater than the most. A thousand mountains that have been and find her in the outer state but she remains herself.
So again, in this canto, we find this pattern of three levels. A triple realm of ordered thought came first. And in turn, Sri Aurobindo describes these three levels to us and how each of them has their place in the kingdoms of the greater mind. But finally, he tells us that though thought is always trying to grasp at truth, and though truth smiles on this gracious golden game and pretends or allows herself an image of herself to be caught by the thinker, and who then claims her as his own or his special beloved. No. In fact, she can't be clasped and embraced like that. She escapes all embraces. Only in the end, what has to happen is when we really dare to surrender to her absolute, then the unmanifest, all that has not yet been manifested, reflects his form in the still mind, when the thinker has stopped thinking and has stilled the mind, then that timeless ray of truth can descend into our hearts and carry us off into eternity and infinity, because truth is wider and greater than all her form. We, the thinkers, have made 1,000 icons, 1,000 sacred images of her, and they find her in those idols which they adore. But she, the Supreme Divine Mother, the Mother of Truth, she remains herself and infinite, and we can't imprison her in any way. She's always escaping beyond our grasp. So we can start to look at the first of these three realms. We can go back to the break on page 264. Is it Wanja? Will you read? Yes, please. Thank you. So he's seeing these great stairs of thought climbing up out of sight, right to the meeting point of manifestation and the transcendent. But first of all comes this triple realm, this realm with three aspects, a realm of ordered thought, a small beginning of that immense ascent. Above that triple realm, there are skies, bright ethereal skies of mind. And it's as if he can see level after level after level of sky, of mind sky, packed and endless soar, as if sky pressed sky. And this is, these skies are buttressed, they're supported against the void, the emptiness, on bastioned light. A bastion is also a kind of support to a big building. And in this case, the support is solid light, supporting these skies after this structure of skies after skies after skies. The very highest skies are trying, making an effort to neighbor eternity, to get close to eternity. And there are larger ones that widen into the infinite. But the first realms, this triple realm of ordered thought, It's also immortal, mighty, and divine, but it's close to human mind. It's kin, connected, related to our human mind. The deities of those realms are shaping and molding the roads, the ways in which our greater thinking moves. Not just our ordinary, limited, everyday thoughts, but when we access higher realms of thought. So a fragment, a small piece of the power of those deities, of those realms, can be ours. We can access them. These broad, wide spaces are not too broad for our souls to explore them. We can do it. These heights are not too high for human hope. They are somehow within our reach or grasp. Is it clear? Anybody would like to ask anything?
This is rational pure religion. On terms of
he's not writing philosophy. He's writing poetry. Mm. If we want to go into the philosophical expression of it, then we can have a look at this second part of the second book of Life Divine. But here he's giving us a symbol pictures to help us grasp these places. No? So the thinker has come close to the ideal's air, and now this is what he's seeing, these possibilities. And he's going to describe, he says, a triple flight of steps leads to this triple world. Sorry? A soar, that's what a big bird does. It flies up to soar. Without, if you soar, it looks effortless. It's what the really big birds, the condors and the vultures and the eagles, they do. They do actually move the the wingtips to keep their balance. But it looks as if they're not moving at all. They're just soaring up. Effortlessly. Would you read? Would you like to read? I'm sorry, I've forgotten your name. You don't want to read? No. Okay. Mariana.
The triple flight led to this triple world. Although abrupt, or constrained, its upward slope looks down on all earth poles. On a slant mountain, it tips it between steep, and could turn back, traveling deep descending lines. The communion with the mortal. Mighty wardens of ascending stair who intercede with the all-creating world, there waited for the pilgrim heaven-bound soul. Holding the thousand keys of the beyond, they proffered their knowledge to the climbing mind and filled the light with thoughts immense.
Thank you. So this is about this triple flight of stairs. He says it's steep, it's abrupt, difficult for common strengths to climb up that steep slope. But still, that upward slope is still connected with our earth. It looks down on our earth poise, the poise of our earth mind. So on this slant, it's a steep slope, but it's not too precipitously steep. One could turn back, traveling these deep descending lines to commune, to communicate with the mortals' universe, our universe. So on that slope, that first flight of steps, there are wardens, guardians. They are the guardians of that ascending stair which is going up and up and up and up. They intercede between us, our mortal realm, and that all-creating word, which is the height of the ideal mind. Those guardians are waiting there for pilgrims like us, the pilgrim heaven-bound soul, the aspirant for higher levels and life. They're waiting for them, and they're holding keys. Wardens hold keys, that's what they do. No? They are holding the thousand keys which open up the different realms of the beyond, beyond our mind. They are proffering, almost as you're climbing up the stairs, there may be people offering things, offering their knowledge to the climbing mind. Yes, proffering, it's like they're offering for sale almost. Of course it isn't, but yes, if you go on one of these mountain top temples, if you go up, there are these stairs going up, and everywhere where there's a little place, there'll be somebody offering things, no? Soft drinks or shoes or, you know. So proffering, they're displaying and offering.
Sorry? The climbing mind.
Yeah. They are offering at least higher knowledge that will help you to go higher. No? Yeah. They proffered their knowledge to the climbing mind. Yeah, sorry?
Maybe they are proffering because in order to get this, you have to fulfill the conditions. There's an exchange of some kind.
I think so, yes, something like that. You have to deserve it at least.
Yes, like that.
Or you have to want it. At least you have to want it.
To come out on a rainy day.
For example, yes, there's something like that. Yes, this prefix pro, it suggests putting forward. No? They're not just offering it there, almost pressing it on you. Try this, you know? Something like that. And the other thing they do is that they give something to the life. They fill the life with all the immense possibilities of thought. And then he tells us something more about these wardens. Margaret.
The doctor Tyrotens of the occult world, the flame blind hierarchy of the divine truth, interpreters between man's mind and God's, they bring the mortal fire to mortal man. They will listen, body, the invisible, the darkness of the eternal bright.
Thank you. We've discussed this word prophet before. Perhaps it's someone who has the power of communion with a higher knowledge. Hierophants, priests, worshippers of the occult law. These are hierarchs. They're arranged in a hierarchy and they maintain the flame-bright hierarchy of the divine truth. They are interpreters, mediators between man's mind and God. And they are like angels, messengers. They bring that immortal fire of truth to mortal men. And the way they appear to Asvapati is iridescent, shimmering, shining with all the colors of the rainbow. They are bodying the invisible. They are giving, like, appearing in a form, but their essence is invisible. These are the guardians of these stairs, these bright degrees, the hierarchy. And they are fronting the sun. They are, beyond them is the sun. And they stand there in radiant phalanxes. A phalanx is a body of soldiers in an army. It's standing in order, they're like warriors. So from a distance, it just looks like they are symbolic figures, shining. They are the illumined originals of the shadowy script in which our sight transcribes the ideal ray. They're symbolic figures which to us express some higher truth or existence. Or they're icons, sacred images figuring a mystic truth. But then when Asvapati gets nearer to them, he sees they're not just images. They're not just imagery, pictures. They are living gods and presences.
Would this be something like Father Christmas? I'm sorry.
It's something he's seeing, you know. the way I'm, the image it's giving to me is approaching a temple, a very, very beautiful temple. And there are steps going up, and carved on the steps, as in our South Indian temples here, there are beautiful figures. But these are golden and shining. And at first they just look like they're carved or bronze figures. But then when you get near, then you see that they're actually living presences. And there's actually different levels of them, three different levels.
I wonder if there are beautiful paintings of Swirling's poems. Then the steps goes up and the goddess is.
Yes. So he uses the word friezes. That's what we see in the temples or the churches. It's a row of figures that are marked on a particular level. That marks the lowest steps. They're fantastically ornate, richly small. But they had room. They expressed the whole meaning of a world. Symbols minute of the joy, the perfection of that particular world. Some of them are in animal form, strange beasts that are nature's forces made alive. And there are also images of human beings who have wakened up to the significance of our role, as human beings, man grown, an image undefaced of God, not a spoiled, distorted image, but human figures that are really seem to be divine. There are beasts, there including men. There are also objects, so beautiful, the fine coin of beauty's realm. So these are just the first steps, and they lead up to wide terrains, very, very wide plateaus, I suppose one could think those levels are. And there are three such levels. First, these world times enjoyers, and then there's the next one, the engineers and the architects, and then there are the sovereign kings of thought. There are three different levels described, but we'll stop there for today. Thanks to Sri Aurobindo.